Friday, May 13th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, earlier this week, Tucker Carlson had a monologue which Fox News wrote up into an op-ed which they published, and it caught my eye because Tucker Carlson said this past Monday night something that you've been saying for years. Let me read just a segment of this op-ed. Quote, "So they're mad, not really mad about Alito, but at Christianity and Christians, believers, people of faith. They have been for a long time, but it's weird if you think about it. Why are liberals angry at Christianity? You wouldn't think they would be. Christianity has been the single greatest force for human rights in history. Our understanding of human rights, all of us, atheists included, is based on Christianity. That's where it comes from. Christianity is the reason we don't have slavery and segregation and children working in factories. Christians did that."
So he's referring to great Christian statesmen like William Wilberforce. Don't you love it? William Wilberforce, when he started what became a 55-year movement that transformed society. Now remember, it wasn't the church. In fact, his pastor, John Newton, evangelized and discipled him and supported him. And Wilberforce then took what he knew about his Savior and what his Savior did to his life into his vocation and into his calling, which was a statesman. And I love the movement that he and the Clapham Society put together. It was called the Reformation of Manners. It's just bad manners. Man stealing is wrong, and slavery is wrong, and speaking untruth is wrong. And they began to attack all of these issues in such a powerful way as salt and light because they had been evangelized and discipled by a church and a faithful pastor. Tom, one of my favorite moments when I take people on a Reformation tour of England is to go to the church where John Newton pastored. It's still there, but I look at the pulpit from which he preached, and I look at the pew where Wilberforce sat, and I think of what happened in the context of that church by what it did in Wilberforce's life. They had the influence of Christianity that unraveled the evil of chattel slavery. But I love it when Tucker Carlson made the point in his op-ed, here is the movement that was substantially Christian in terms of the initial civil rights leaders. Go check how many of them have Reverend in front of their name, including Martin Luther King, which, by the way, as Carlson points out, you never hear the secular papers refer to him as Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, only as Dr. Martin Luther King, which, by the way, was an honorary doctorate. But his calling was originally Reverend, and if you do a study of his life, you'll see that there was this movement back into the theology and cadence of the traditional African-American church. There's an essay that's been put out, Tom, that chronicles, through the analysis of the organs of communication in culture, how the culture views Christianity in general, and the church in particular, and the evangelical church specifically. And they make a point that up until about 1980, even though there was rebellion against biblical Christianity in the culture, there was not enmity against Christianity and the church that was culturally directed. In other words, the church had a place of honor in society. Christianity was honored in its role of coming out of the Reformation and stimulating all of the things that Tucker Carlson talks about, human rights. And then the movement out of the Reformation that said governments don't give rights. Governments aren't your savior. Governments are there to restrain sin and protect the rights that God gives. They're not government given, they're God given. All of these glorious things were at least recognized in the culture. So while the culture was already in rebellion against biblical ethics, it still did not take on directly the church, but it had a place of at least emblematic honor in society. But then in the 1980s, it kind of went into what you might call a public neutrality, where the church was no longer honored, its opinion sought, But neither was it ostracized. Neither was there a directed cultural isolation and segregation of the church in the culture. But then when you get to the 21st century, about 2005, there becomes a direct opposition targeting of Christianity. One person put it so simply as this, that in that first era, it was positive toward the church, and in the next era, it was neutral in terms of the church, and the essay goes on to say, now it is negative toward the church. Now, what are we going to do? Well, if you think your mission is to transform the culture, the tendency in this present age is to accommodate the culture to get a seat at the table with the culture shapers. And who are those culture shapers? Big business, corporate America, academic America, entertainment America, big government and media or journalistic America. Those are your culture shapers. And if the church thinks its mission is to transform the culture, then it's going to accommodate its message to the culture, and therefore the culture ultimately wins. Well, the reality is the positive view of the church is really an anomaly. Throughout history, the church has always been the target. So how does the church set itself up as? As a blessed counterculture movement. We have our own culture. It's called the Great Commandment. We have our own mission. It's called Make Disciples of All the Nations. Then we have the anticipated blessing. And the blessing is the growth of the church and the transformation of the culture. But those are consequences. Those are not your objective as the church. And so we find ourselves in this status, as Tucker Carlson rightly pointed out, as being counted as an enemy by the cultural elite. No longer something to be honored, but now an outright enemy. Thus you had the epidemic of church burnings in Canada the last couple of years. Thus you have the targeting of Christians and their livelihood. Thus you have the targeting of churches, specifically and irrationally in many cases, in terms of the pandemic and the government exercising its power to control the churches. And so my takeaway is we shouldn't be amazed at this, because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Blessed are you when, not if, when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So, Tom, what we need to do is say, okay, we understand this is going to happen. Now, here's what we're going to do. You who have declared enmity, we're going to win you, because Jesus died for sinners. He died for the helpless, and he died for his enemies to make them his friends. So we're going to win you to Christ, and then you become one of us. We as a church are going to stay on mission. That is the Great Commission, to make disciples of all the nations. And we're going to stay on message, and that is a gospel-wrapped declaration of the whole counsel of God. And we're going to stay in ministry with a culture in which the people of God who reside in the kingdoms of this world but are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, we're going to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we're going to love our neighbor. That means you, as we have experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's what I think Tucker Carlson has unlocked for us, the reality of a culture at war against Christianity. What's going to be our response? We're going to win them to Jesus, and we're going to speak truth in love in the public square, that Christ might be proclaimed as Lord, King, and Savior of sinners, that we summon you to him who came for you at the cross.
What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare? How do we see it played out in our everyday lives? Pastor Harry Reeder delivers 15 sermons to help us understand that we might stand. This 15 CD set is available by going to briarwood.org/spiritual warfare. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application, as we put the issues of today in perspective.